So, my oldest is 10 now. He turned 10 in April. And we've been having a lot of talks about what my life was like and how my life was different than his when I was 10. And a lot of this is happening now for a lot of reasons. We're dealing with my family a lot. My parents, so of course, a lot of talk about the parent-child relationships. And also because my memories of life experiences before 10, like elementary school, is kind of a blur to me. There are things that I remember about elementary school. A handful of the friends that carried over, being in a tap dance group, that was fun. I'm used to the stage. I was already in choirs, and I would do little plays and declamation contests where you stand up and recite something on stage, or, you know, recite a speech or whatever. I was used to doing those on stage, but tap dancing, that was, you know, in elementary school, I discovered that I really loved tap dancing. So I was used to the, you know, stage in various ways. I was used to being in front of people. But I remember more of, like, those experiences, being on stage, the handful of friends, a handful of things that either really, really stood out, or because they were great or because they were awful, prior to middle school, prior to sixth grade, being around 10 years old. A lot of independence started in my life then, starting a different school where my mother wasn't president of the PTA and wasn't there like 24/7. And so it felt like going from a place where a parent was in control to going for a place where a parent was in control. Middle school, my brothers and I, we all went to separate middle schools, so there wasn't any shadow of an older sibling going on. There wasn't any direct parent involvement going on, so there was a lot more independence, and that's when a lot of my choices started being made. That's when a lot of my awareness came into play. I made my, you know, my first best friend that I made, not just because they live nearby or, you know, were in my class, because in elementary school, the people who were in your third grade class were the people you saw all day long. Like, you didn't change too much. There were a couple of us. I did reading classes with the older students because I was an advanced reader or whatever. But that was like one time a day. For the most part, your class was your class. In middle school, things changed around a little bit more. My middle school program, we kind of stayed together. But within that, we had little activities that we were allowed to voluntarily engage in and things like that. A lot of my independence, a lot of my decision making, so a lot of my memory awareness, I guess you would say, starts around age 10. So talking to my son about how different my life was when I was 10 to how his life was, like even the fact that, yes, I was in school and he is homeschooled. But also at 10 and younger, I was home alone often with my younger brother sometimes. You know, my older brother was a year away from high school. All of us were at different schools. My dad worked. My mom worked off and on. A lot of times it was just different commitments, volunteering, PTA. She was, you know, always on the go. She didn't drive, so it was always, you know, getting rides from people. So very often at 10, I was, you know, home alone with my little brother, who, you know, 3 years younger than me. I was responsible for getting him snacks and things. We were what was called then latchkey kids. I'm not sure if that term is still used these days. Do people still call kids who have to, you know, after school, get home on their own, make their snacks, start their homework, maybe tend to younger siblings or whatever, latchkey kids? And that was at 10, you know, and that wasn't unusual or scary or unnerving in any way. We had a phone, a house phone, not a million cell phones and, you know, smart devices and things like that where you can kind of track someone's location at any moment. We had a house phone, and we had neighbors that knew us, and yeah, so 10-year-old me and my 7-year-old brother would be home. I would get him a snack, you know. Sometimes my nephews as well. And my nephews are close in age. Let's see, one about, he would have been maybe 6. It feels like right after school, 5 or 6. The other one was smaller, maybe 3. And yeah, we'd be in the house alone. I was probably left overnight with my brothers, my older brother who's 2 years older, probably for the first time around age 12, maybe. Yeah, probably younger than that. You know, my dad traveled a lot. He was often out of the country. Sometimes my mom was traveling with him. Sometimes my mom was, you know, she would go visit her family in West Virginia. And if we had school or whatever the case may be, like, there were various times when we were home alone in our adolescence. Overnight. It was never alarming. We knew what we had to do to take care of ourselves. We knew how to feed ourselves. We knew how to dress ourselves. We knew how to get ready for school if we had to. Typically, it wasn't during the school week. My dad was often gone. My mom wasn't. But sometimes, yeah, and maybe my sister, who's older, would stay with us. But it wasn't unusual, alarming, unnerving in any way. As opposed to now, you know, my son is 10, and there have been a handful of times he's been in the home alone, never alone with the little one. That hasn't happened. He's 3. There have been a couple times when I'm like, okay, me and the little one are going to go for a walk. You chill? Yeah, okay, so he's chill. He's home. He knows if anything happens, he can text me from his device, and usually he does, just to say, hey, you guys okay? Yeah, I'm okay, whatever. Sometimes if he's playing a video game or distracted enough, he won't. He'll totally forget we were gone, and by the time we get back, he's like, oh, hey. But no, I've never left him to take care of his little brother because, you know, they still fight every 30 seconds, and he still goes, mommy. And no, I haven't considered leaving him overnight. I have no reason to, not without a babysitter. And in this day and age, that is a quick and fast call to Child Protective Services from anybody. Like, my goal is to have it so that by the time he's like 16, yeah, he'll be able to stay with his little brother, and they'll be able to stay overnight. At 16, I was babysitting at 16. I was watching other people's kids at 16, sometimes staying overnight, you know. And that was not unusual at all. And I don't want it to be unusual for my kid. I want him to be comfortable enough in his own sense of responsibility, and for me to be comfortable in his sense of responsibility to say that my 16-year-old son can stay alone with his 9-year-old little brother if daddy and I have a date night and decide to call it an overnight. Like, that's highly reasonable, and that's what I encourage and want for him, even though I realize that in this day and age, that's kind of the opposite of what some people want for their kids. Like, a lot of people feel that this day and age has become way too dangerous for kids to be left alone until they're literally, like, legal, until they're adults. And I'm not even going to knock that. Like, we have to work within our own comfort level. We have to work within our own sense of trust in ourselves and in our kids and in our environment. Like, we have to be able to do that for ourselves, and we have to make our own choices about that. This is what I want from my kid. I want for him to feel the same comfort in his own sense of responsibility, and for me to feel that comfort in him, so that it's not a fear, it's not even a second thought of having to leave him home, of having to care for him, of him going out on his own, of him being able to hang out with his friends, and I know that he's making responsible decisions without having to text him a million times or call him or track him on his GPS or any of those things. Like, I don't want those things to have to be why I trust my child. Like, oh, I trust him because I can keep him completely located and tracked and everything. Like, that's way too Black Mirror for me. I would rather keep it some gentle balance between that and the old school, I raised a good boy. And, you know, the same thing with my little one. Like, I get the feeling I'm probably going to be trusting him a lot younger because he's already showing a lot more confidence in his own sense of self and responsibility than my older one showed. And he's always been more of a mama's girl, mama's boy, in the sense of he does not want to take a step without mama saying it's okay. My little one is all like, I don't care what you say, mom, I'm going to go do this. So it's, you know, more than likely he's going to step out on his own a little bit younger because that's what he's already displaying. My older one is not. He wants to know that mom's going to be home and nearby and, you know, and he's not there yet, but I want to get him there. I don't want to be terrified of leaving my 15-year-old home, 16-year-old home, 17, like that. I don't want that to even be a thought. I don't want that. I feel like if I get to the point where I can't leave my mature, homeschooled, you know, responsible, trustworthy kid home alone and not be terrified that if something happens, they won't be able to keep a level head as much as possible and do the right thing. And granted, things happen, but things happen when I'm home too. Things happen when he's with his dad. Like things are gonna happen regardless. The point isn't trying to keep them sheltered so that no things ever happen. The point is teaching them enough responsibility so that when things do happen, they act responsibly. They respond in a way that's appropriate and mature and handles the business. And then I can come back and say, hey, you did that? All right, dude, awesome. And go on about our business. It's not a huge thing. It's not a, oh my God, you did. It's who they are. It's part of who they naturally become. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other, it's just weird. Like, I feel like we're often in the need to protect our kids from the world that has grown into what we consider to be this ugly beast, we're eliminating all the opportunities for our kids to learn how to save themselves from the ugly beast. And then we complain about how millennials don't know how to, or this generation, or whatever is the generation beneath, because it's always, you become part of the older generation once you start complaining about the younger generation. And it's always the older generation is complaining about how little the younger generation is doing, has to do. It's always the older generation with the, I had to walk uphill in the snow barefoot to get to school every day, and you're complaining because there's not AC in our hybrid or whatever. Like, we always do that. Every generation does it. It's almost kind of like a rites of passage of becoming the generation that complains about the younger generation, you know. But I would rather, you know, I want to know that my kid is not so protected from the big bad world that he doesn't know how to go out into the big bad world and protect himself. And the only way that happens is if by, you know, raising him to understand how to make good decisions and then trusting him to make those decisions. That's the only way it's going to happen. Not if I constantly make them for him. Not if I constantly keep him from the world or the world from him. And I'm saying my older one because he's a 10-year-old. The other one's 3. He's still potty training. So in a sense, it's like, I almost feel like it's a distant thought for him. And it's not, truthfully, because like I said, he's the one who I feel like is going to start making his way out there on his own a lot sooner than my older one, because he's already a lot more, I can do it all by myself. I don't need anybody kind of person. And, you know, that's cool. That's who he is. That's his personality. So we work with the people who are created. I don't believe in trying to shape him into anything else. So, yeah, it's just the differences. And I'm, you know, 43. My kid is 10. It's, you know, a 30-year gap in his tween and my tween years, in a sense. And in those 30 years, we've become 30 years much, so much more. I feel like we're less free in how we raise our kids. We're more locked down and closed up, and we're scared. And it's, you know, we say it's a scary world, but they're the ones that are creating the world now, you know. So maybe it'll be less scary if we allow them to go out in it and be rays of sunshine in this darkness, as opposed to keeping their rays hidden and closed off and protected. You know, they need to shine. Let them shine. Let them go out into the world and be bold and brave and learn how to conquer, not hide. So, yeah, it sucks. It's tough. It's crazy because, you know, there are babies, but at the same time, they're not, you know. So, yeah, it's just, I'm thinking about this because, like I said, I'm having all these talks with my son especially, but also have a lot of friends who have kids of varying ages, kids that are going off to high school, which blows my mind because I'm like, oh my God, you people are my age. How does that happen? My baby is potty training. And, you know, I have kids that are potty training and kids that are in college their first year, and the parents are terrified. Like, and it's making me think of, like, when I started feeling my sense of independence and realizing that it was much, much younger than what we expect for kids of this generation, of these ages. So, yeah, I gotta process that a little bit, and feel free to take with that what you like.